Jesus is risen. Welcome to St. John's as we continue our celebration of Easter, as we continue to celebrate the amazing truth that our Lord Jesus Christ has risen from the grave, that death has been defeated, and that we have hope, that hope that now drives us into our lives. And so it is good for us to be together today. If you're here with us in church, that's wonderful. If you're joining us online, that's wonderful. We are together as God's people. A couple of brief announcements. First of all, this Sunday, next service, we're welcoming new members to St. John's. And so it's always a good thing to remember that we are a growing and constantly changing community. And so please pray for the new members who will be joining with us in our community. This coming Thursday, we will continue our Bible study on the book of Revelation. It's been a fascinating study. We haven't been breaking any speed records and anything like that. But if you are wanting to join us, it's never too late. We meet in the parlor beginning at 6:30 on Thursday evenings. Join us if you are able. There are lots of other announcements in the bulletin, and I hope that you have a chance to read through them and discover ways in which to plug into the ministry that goes on around us. We've gathered this morning so we can continue our celebration of Easter, so that we can be in worship together. Jesus is risen.
He's risen.
And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, you give us your Son as the vine apart from which we cannot live. Nourish our life in his resurrection, that we may bear the fruit of love and know the fullness of your joy. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our first lesson is from the 8th chapter of Acts, beginning with the 26th verse. An angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Get up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a wilderness road." So he got up and went. Now there was an Ethiopian eunuch, a court official of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of her entire treasury. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning home. Seated in his chariot, he was reading the prophet Isaiah. Then the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over to this chariot and join it." So Philip ran up to it, and he heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He asked, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he replied, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to get in and sit beside him. Now the message, the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, like a lamb silent before its shearer, so he does not open his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "About whom, may I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip began to speak, and starting with this scripture, he proclaimed to him the good news about Jesus. As they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What is to prevent me from being baptized?" He commanded the chariot to stop, and both of them, Philip and the eunuch, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he was passing through the region, he proclaimed the good news to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second lesson is from the 4th chapter of 1 John, beginning at the 7th verse. "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not know God, for God is love. God's love is revealed among us in this way: God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God is in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent his Son as the Savior of the world. God abides in those who confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and they abide in God. So we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love. Those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment, and whoever fears has not reached perfection in love. We love because he first loved us. Those who say, "I love God," and hate their brothers and sisters are liars. For those who do not love a brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from him is this: those who love God must love their brothers and sisters also. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. John in the 15th chapter. Jesus said, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of our Lord. Jesus is risen. And now may the presence and the grace of our risen Lord be with you now and always. Hildy is in the nursing home. She's 97 years old and belonged there, especially after her fall. She liked it just fine. The people were always pleasant and helpful. Yes, there were times when she would have to wait for things. Sometimes it seemed a long time, but it actually seemed a small price to pay for the safety she felt there. One day, Pastor Brad was doing his visiting at her home. He had done a communion service for those who could get around, but that was kind of hard for Hildy these days. So Pastor Brad stopped in to visit. When Brad knocked on Hildy's door that morning, she was just finishing her devotions. She loved doing her devotions. She loved reading the Bible and listening for whatever it is that God might say to her that day. That day, she was using her favorite Bible, the one that she had had the longest. It was the Bible that Magnus had helped her get and, in fact, had helped her to even want to begin with. "Hi, Hildy. I hope I'm not interrupting anything," Pastor Brad said as he walked into her room. "No," she said. "I was just finishing my devotions." Come in, Pastor. "I'm sorry I didn't make it to your service, but my hip and legs just don't like to take me around like they used to. When they got me in my chair here this morning, it felt so good that I just didn't want to even try." Brad smiled as he laid his coat on her bed and said, "No problem, Hildy. This way, I get to see that Bible of yours. I've seen it on your bedstand before, but I didn't really know that you used it. You had another Bible when you used to come to Bible study." Hildy smiled And it was a wonderfully big smile. It was a smile that lit up her eyes and then went all the way down. It was as if her whole body was smiling. This, she said, is my favorite Bible. This one means the most to me. Do you have time for a story this morning, Pastor? I feel like telling you a story. And she motioned to an empty chair over in the corner of the room. If you have a minute, sit down and look at my Bible. And she handed the Bible to him. With that kind of introduction, I will make time for this story. So pulling the chair a little closer, Brad took the Bible from her as she handed it to him. It was an old Bible in English. The binding was falling apart. The thin onion skin pages looked fragile. Stuffed inside were pressed flowers, bookmarkers, cards, even a post-it note or two. This was a well-loved, well-used, well-worn Bible. It had had a name engraved on the front, but most of those letters had been erased by time and use. Brad opened to the inside page, and with a child's hand, yet very neatly written, was the name Brunhilde Birgitta Liesel von Oestergaard. "Is this your full name?" Brad asked. "Yes," she said, "that is my baptized name. Brunhilde was after my father's mother. Birgitta was after my mother's favorite aunt. Liesel was a middle name that was given to every girl child in my mother's family. They decided to call me after my grandmother because Aunt Birgitta was still alive and Grandma Brunhilde was dead. I'm so glad that they shortened it, though. I never really wanted to go through life thought of as Brunhilde," she giggled. "It is a very right and proper name," Pastor Brad commented. "But what about this story?" She said, "Now this happened 80 years ago or more. It was in the springs of the years when I was 9, 10, and 11. For those three springs up in the town where I grew up, Magnus came, and he came around the beginning of May. Now everybody thought that Magnus was a hobo. Now this was a time when hobos would ride the rails and stop in various towns looking for work or looking for a meal. My hometown was in lumber country, so it was always possible for a hobo to find some work, even if it was just temporary work. Now Magnus always seemed to come on the trains just like Lester and Sweet Pete or Stinky Jim and his friend Cletus. Magnus always came in early May and was usually gone again before mid-June. Magnus was different, though," she said. "He looked always a little more washed up than most of the other hobos, and he definitely smelled better. He would always appear by the railroad tracks that were across from our church, and he would come and he would sit on the front steps and hold audience. The kids loved Magnus. He was an interesting character with a great hat that was part fedora and part cowboy hat. It was always on his head except when he would take out his handkerchief and wipe the sweat from the sun. He wore a flannel shirt and a waistcoat and a tweed jacket. You'd call that a sport coat now, I think. He had a pack of some sort that was usually strung across one shoulder, always had a bedroll blanket, but there were all sorts of other mysteries in that pack. But none of that was the real reason that the kids loved him. It was the nickels. You see, unlike any other hobo we had ever seen, Magnus always had nickels. He would give a nickel to everyone who would tell him a Bible story. He would give a nickel to every child who would sit and listen to a story that he told about Jesus. His face would brighten like nothing that you have ever seen when he would tell a story about Jesus. I don't know how many times I would sit there taking in every word. Stories about Jesus healing the sick and the lame. Stories when Jesus would cast out demons. Now, those were exciting when Magnus got going. Stories where Jesus fed people or told parables. I saw a grown man cry for the first time when Magnus told the story about Jesus' trial before Pilate and the beating that Jesus received. It was wonderful just to hear the stories, but none of us refused the nickel. It got to the point where my best friend Frida and I would read through our family Bibles at night looking for good stories to share. Again, it wasn't only for the nickel. It was really to see Magnus's smile. But the nickel never hurt. That first year that he came, I got a crazy idea. I was so taken with all of these stories that Magnus was telling and listening to that I decided I wanted a Bible for myself. So every nickel I received went into a for special tin in which I kept my most precious possessions. I was saving for a Bible. Now, a Bible didn't cost a lot in those days, but it was still a lot of nickels. So I kept at it. It was always a sad day for us kids when Magnus would vanish with the apple blossoms. But that was another thing about Magnus. When he wasn't telling Bible stories, he was helping the trees and the bushes and stuff. Now, most hobos were either looking for work or just a handout, or both if that was possible. Magnus looked for trees. He was always cutting something from one and sticking it into or onto another. Later, I learned that what he was doing is called grafting. It was really amazing to see the branches that he was moving as they kept growing in the new spot, and then to see what would happen years later. Hildy took a drink of water and then asked, I'm not boring you, am I, Pastor? Oh, no, Hildy, Pastor Brad said. I'm all ears. Carry on. I want to hear more. You asked for it, she chuckled. The second year that Magnus showed up, I had saved up a lot of Bible stories so that we would sit for long chats on the church steps, me telling stories like Joshua and Caleb and the spies in Canaan. And he would tell me about the wheat and the tares. I would tell him about Elisha and the widow, and he would tell me about the woman who anointed Jesus with perfume. It was wonderful. I also told Magnus that I was saving up for a Bible, and he thought that that was a grand idea. As we talked, sometimes we would walk and Magnus would look for trees. I once asked him about that, and then he told me another Bible story. It's the one where Jesus says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Magnus told me that that was his favorite story because it gave him an image that he could understand. Magnus said that he understood trees, and knowing that we had been grafted into Jesus was exciting to him. He stopped and pointed to a branch, and he said, I grafted this here last year. Look and see how it is growing. It is helping the tree to do something new, and the tree is helping the branch to live. This is like Jesus and us. Connected to Jesus, we are able to do wonderful things because of the life that Jesus provides for us. He went on for a long time that day talking about trees and Jesus the vine. When he stopped, I asked him where he lived. I thought I knew him well enough to be able to ask the question. And he said to me that he had lived in lots of places, but that he abides in Christ. And that was the most important. As June came, Magnus was gone again, but he came back the next year. Once again, the nickels were flowing to me and to many children. I had had almost enough to buy my Bible, and when I finally did, I went and I ordered it. I had even saved enough to get my whole name engraved on the front, which was quite a lot, you know, she smiled. When the Bible came, I ran to show it to Magnus. It was almost June, and I knew that he would be leaving soon. He saw me running toward him, and he was wrapping another branch. We said hello, and I showed him my Bible. I thanked him for the many nickels. But more than that, I thanked him for the inspiration to read this book. Magnus thanked me for loving the stories, for digging into the Word. Then he told me something that I still cherish. He held my Bible and he said, "Now that you have this Bible, now you need to use this Bible to make this your Bible." And he touched my head and held it right over my heart. He said, "We need to be Bibles for other people to read." I told him I would try, and I have tried. Much of the time I've failed, unfortunately, but it is still my goal to be a living Bible for others to read so that they too can find Jesus. She took another sip of water. "That is a great story, Hildy," Pastor Brad said, flipping through the pages. "Do you know whatever happened to Magnus?" She said, "That year was the last year that Magnus was on the steps of our church. My father showed me an obituary in the newspaper later in the year that said that Magnus Larson, founder of the Larson Lumber Company, had passed away. There was a picture, and it was our Magnus. We had thought that he was a hobo, and he was actually the richest man in 3 states. You know, Pastor, I wrote a card to his widow, telling her of the special place that Magnus had in my heart and all of the stories that he had told me. She even wrote me back, telling me that Magnus had even mentioned me by name when he was telling her stories of his travels. It's really an amazing thing." Pastor Brad asked some more questions that morning, but the most important thing they did that day was share communion. And in his prayer, Pastor Brad thanked God for the ministry of Magnus and God's continued ministry in and through Hildy. You see, we are all of us called to tell the story of God's love, like Philip did for that Ethiopian eunuch, like Magnus did to the children in our story. But more importantly, we are called to live our lives in such a way that we point to Christ. That is the love which Jesus commands us to live. That is the love that defines God Himself. Active, amazing, caring, sacrificing, giving, receiving, living for others. That's the love. And in this love, we are invited to abide. That means that God's love is always there for us. And in that love, we are free to stay around, to hang out with, to Sabbath with. We are free to meditate on that love, to contemplate that love, to rest in that love. But we are also free to draw strength for our life and our living. We are free to find our roots in that love. And then we are free to grow with and to grow into that love. We are invited to share that love, to live that love, to bear fruit from that love, which means we are free to serve one another and the world around us. That's what it means to abide in Christ, to abide in God's love. If we choose not to abide there, we wither. We become tinder for conflagrations over the silliest of stuff. God has grafted our lives into the life of Christ so that we will have His strength, His example, His grace, His goodness from which to draw. God did this so that we can bear fruit, the fruit of love and joy, of peace and patience, of gentleness, generosity, self-control. And God did all of this for us in love. So may we all find ways to make of our lives living Bibles for the world to read. May we point to Christ, and may we always proclaim the truth that Jesus is risen. May we point to God and His love and forgiveness in all we do, for all the people we meet, and all of the time. Amen. Please rise. Next service, we'll be welcoming new members. But as we continue to celebrate our Easter season, let us confess our faith together using the words we find in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is risen. And now may the God of resurrection power, the Christ of unending joy, and the Spirit of Easter hope bless you now and always. Amen. I hope your week is filled with blessings as you go into the world with hope. God's vision,
our mission. You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Salvation came to us. Now we are free forever. Made alive by the Savior's touch. Now death can hold us under. Right here. Right now, sing, bring him adoration. Rise up, sing out this song of joy and freedom. We have seen the Son. Jesus, risen one. And run into the world. Beauty revealed to us. Our eyes are wide with wonder. Caught by the brightness of the glory of the Father. Our eyes not seen something so captivating. We'll go where you lead, to the ends of the earth proclaiming. We have seen the Son, Jesus, risen one. His light came down to us. Father.